Go ahead.
Ready?
Yes.
Please be advised that a special meeting of the Legislative Committee, a committee of the whole of the Annuity and Pension Board scheduled for Tuesday, March 25th, 2025 is called to order. The time is 9:00. Jan, could you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Bell? Mr. Bell?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Christensen?
Here.
Mr. DeClean?
Here.
Mr. Helling?
Here.
Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Mr. Kovac? Not present as yet. Ms. Ford?
Here.
Quorum.
Okay. The only items on the agenda this morning are an update on the executive recruiter RFP status and a presentation or demonstration of the Bonfire RFP evaluation software. So, Jerry, if you want to take over from this point?
Yep, thank you, Deborah, very much. As I mentioned at the last board meeting, the RFP went out at the beginning of March to a number of firms. In fact, there were 11 in total. And I could just read them off briefly. EFL, which is a unit of CBIZ. Now, EFL is affiliated with NCPERS, or they have a partnership. It's a major public fund recruiting firm. Experis, who we know very well. Experis is owned by Manpower, which is a large international HR firm, which is headquartered here in Milwaukee. CLA, which is also one of our partners, our consultant for us, our internal auditor as well. KPMG, which is a major accounting firm. Korn Ferry, which is another large international management recruiting firm, one of the largest in the industry. Keller, I'm not familiar with that firm. Pardon?
They're local.
Oh, they are local, good. Scion, Ernst & Young, another large accounting firm. City has a consulting relationship with them currently. Gary Hudepohl, who was the recruiter that the city used the last time, although he has since declined to respond. He said he was unable to participate at this point in time. Baker Tilly, which is our former auditor, and I believe is still the city's auditor. And then a firm called On Partners. So there are 11 total in total that we responded to, and a couple of inquiries have come in, but as of yet, we have not received any final responses. But it's not unusual for final responses to wait until pretty much toward the end in an RFP process. At least that's been my experience. So that's kind of where the RFP stands. And then just to introduce this software, this is the software that the city purchasing department acquired a few years ago to help evaluate RFPs. And I've used it personally. It's pretty easy to use. The strongest part about this software is it makes it very convenient and simple to have RFPs stored within the software. Sometimes they can run to hundreds of pages, actually. So it makes it convenient for people to review them because they don't have to have a foot-high stack of paper to look at. They can sift between the various responses pretty conveniently. And there's also, it also facilitates the ability to score. And so we thought we would put up a demonstration this morning of how this works. And the idea behind this is to offer the trustees, each of you, an opportunity to participate in the actual scoring if you desire to do so. If there's no appetite for that, then of course we'll have an expert panel, in-house expert panel, do the first cut and then send only the finalists, maybe three finalists before the full committee to review. Please sort of maybe hold your reaction until after you see the demo and whether you think this would be a useful exercise and whether the software is, whether you think you could easily navigate this without, spending a lot of time with it. So without that further ado, Terry's going to go ahead and run the slideshow for us. Go ahead, Terry.
All right. So I did send you guys a
email with an attachment on it with the SPI for our practice instruction, that's what we call it. I will actually walk through the actual demonstration, the website, but you can keep this thing on the side so you can see what we're doing. So this process will start off when Mary, she's the contract administrator for the site, she will send you guys an invitation saying that we've received submissions and please go ahead and start your review process. You will get an email that kind of looks like what you see on the left side of the screen. So it'll have the City of Milwaukee logo, please review the submission, and you'll see a button in there that says view the submissions. So when you click on it the first time, since I already have an account, I won't get that same login kind of a thing, but what you guys will get, set up my screen again, is going to look slightly different. You will see a thing that says create an account. It'll ask you for your name, email address, password. You will put that information in there. Click create account. There's a declaration page, that's what they call it. It's like a privacy and confidentiality statements. Go ahead and complete those. There are two tabs on it. You have to fill out both the sections saying that A, you don't have conflicts of interest, and B, that you agree to their privacy policy. And then you type in your name, hit that, click submit, and then there's a hide button on the top right part of that screen. I don't have that screenshot, but you'll see it, it's pretty evident. Just click on hide, and then you'll be on a place where you will be seeing submissions. Subsequently, when you log in, if you log off and then come back and start reviewing later on, you will get to the link that I will be showing you in a second. So, in a nutshell, that kind of covers how you create the account. And then keep the email that Mary sends you handy, because you will need that as the next time you want to access something.
Yes, I want to mention one thing. I haven't used this software a couple times myself. The nice thing about it is it allows you, you don't have to complete the whole exercise at once. You can come back intermittently as you have time and pick up where you left off.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and log in at this point. So we've got two submissions that we created in the test environment. This is not the real ED Recruiter RFP, it's a test one that we created. And you will, when you log in, you will see a couple of links on it. The documents where everything resides, where the proposal and things are, how many pages it has, whether what your progress is, whether you've done scoring it or not, the scorecard, and then the actions. So I'm going to walk through it real quick, just so you guys have an idea. So as you are going down this path, so the first RFP, you kind of click on the link under the documents and data saying open the RFP, and it will come up saying whatever it is. There are a couple of things that you could do at this point. You could download the RFP, which I would advise you to do so that you can save it on your hard drive, and that way you can if that pictures and things, this inherent renderer on the website is not as good. The pictures sometimes get fuzzy, so it might be, if they have pictures, you might want to download it and view it that way, and it kind of says that should only be used as a reference. Download it to be 100% sure. Once, as you're reviewing these RFPs, there is a scorecard feature that you will see up top. There are three buttons, one is scorecard. You come in, and for each one of them, you can put in your score. How many points you give it, and why. So if I click on the score, I put in a number. Out of 40 points, I give this guy 30. It asks you, it forces you to give a reason from a pre-selected set of lists. One file comes with these are not something we create. meets or exceeds my expectations, fits, doesn't fit, whatever it is. And then your comments, whatever they are that you want to put in. So whatever I want to put in, and then you save the score. And you can do this as you keep going down the list. Now just remember, as you score these and as you put in comments, the comments can be as descriptive as you want or as vague as you want. This information is stored on Bonfire, and eventually it's available if somebody does a public records request. So this information is out there then for use. When you are done scoring a particular RFP, you can just hit hide. You'll come back to the screen. The other thing is the notes feature. Again, on the top left, you will see this little notes button. You can come in there, and as you're reviewing it, say you want to put something in there, or on page, whatever, five, blah, blah, blah. Just put in whatever your notes are. If you want to say what section it's related to, if it's an experience item, work plan, whatever it is, and then make sure you click add note. So when you do that, you will see your notes being listed at the bottom. So for the next time when you're reviewing this document, or when you come back, if you need a particular, you can look at these notes and go, oh yeah, that's why I said whatever I said. When you're done, you can delete the notes or you can keep them. Now just remember again, these notes are available later on for during the public records request. Download button, simply if you click on it, it downloads the documents to your My Documents folder, and then you can review it on your leisure, print it, or do it online, whatever you see fit. Now coming back to the home page, you can click that back arrow, you come back here. On the left side, you'll see a couple of options here. Submissions, which is this page where you see everybody's proposals, and then your scores. So if you click on your scores, you will see again your scores. You can only see your own scores. You cannot see anybody else's. Mary, as the contract admin, is the only one who can see everyone's scores. And eventually, after everybody is done reviewing, the review date passes, then she'll set up a meeting, if you guys want to have one, to review the scores together, come up with a consensus, etc. Now on the Your Scores page over here, you'll see these numbers that you put in, and again, you can go ahead and click on the number and put in your score on this page directly. So if we click this guy, save the score. So as you get done with each section, you can put the scores in on this page and keep going. So really, in a nutshell, that's pretty much where your work will be, is to review and put in the scores for each one of them. The notes and other details are optional. If you feel like using the notes, use them. If you don't, don't. And then you can view it on the website, you can download it and do it on your own computer, or you can print them out and then do it the old-fashioned way of paper. So, but at the end of the day, we will want you to complete the scorecard, because that's what drives everything else eventually. So again, then as I said, the next steps would be for Mary to review that everybody's responded, and then start ranking everybody's things together and come up with a consolidated view of where every RFP ranks, and then have a meeting if needed to go from there. And in our case, I'm sure you guys would want to have a meeting to discuss these. And then the SPI that I sent out kind of goes through this again, screen by screen, as to what you need to do, and some information that I've been going over during the presentation itself. That's pretty much the extent of what I needed to cover. So are there any questions on this, or if you guys have questions later on as you're going through the website or on the SPI, just reach out to either Mary or me, and we can walk you guys through it.
Terry, this is Jerry. I just wanted to add something. The reason that this is being presented this morning is that there was some, initially anyway, some commentary from trustees about wanting to be, you know, intimately involved in the process of selection, and I wasn't sure how far that extended, so I thought I should provide an opportunity to each of you to, you know, get in on the ground floor of reviewing not only the candidates for the position, but also the recruiter. But if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. It's an individual matter, and maybe there could be some discussion amongst the trustees now on that point. But I just wanted to get a sense from the committee how they want to handle this. Thank you.
Any trustees have questions?
Madam Chair, this is Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Is there a certain number of trustees you'd be looking for to do the RFP review? Is there a minimum threshold that we need, or is it just we're welcome to do it if we're able?
I think it's the latter, Bill. Thanks for asking that question.
Okay, thank you. And how many proposals did you say we would be reviewing, and do you have a ballpark estimate as to the time commitment?
Well, we did send to 11 firms. We haven't received any responses yet, so it's sort of unpredictable. I imagine that we're going to get at least a few, right? Bill, you've been involved in Bonfire RFP reviews before, have you not?
Not using Bonfire, but I've been a part of many RFP reviews.
Right, and I've done a couple for your office, actually, before you came into office. A couple of hours would probably be realistic, depending on how many responses we get.
Okay. That being the case, I'd be happy to volunteer to serve on the panel that's reviewing these.
Sure. And it doesn't have to be, again, continuous time. It could be a little here and a little there as you find time to, you know, pull up the software and look at the documents. It's one of the nice aspects of this, that it allows you to record your thoughts and I'll come back later if you need to.
Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman?
Rudy, go ahead.
Jerry, I have a few questions.
Sure.
So what if we only get three responses? Do we go through this to kind of rank them, or we just go ahead to interviewing them for four responses?
That's a good, very good question, Rudy. And I mean, I anticipated that the board would want to see three finalist firms at least. So it's possible to dispense with the whole exercise if they're all going to come in and interview in person. On the other hand, you know, reviewing their responses in advance and spending some time, you know, going through the ranking exercise might be useful to help you form your thoughts before the finalists come in and give you their pitch. So I think this is kind of a conditional question. My response would be, let's wait and see what happens. But your point is a good one.
Well, that leads to my second question. After we go through the process, either with board members or other people assigned, what does the final report look like?
Well, there is a there's a scoring sheet. Terry, can you pull it up? Maybe it's not easy to do in a demo.
You're talking about the scorecard within the website?
Yeah, there's a scorecard on the website that will give you the numeric scores, right? And then
you can only get your own scores here.
Yeah. Right, so then we have to consolidate them.
American CEO.
Yeah, we do that. And
there's actually a variety of reports available, but basically what we usually look at is one thing that can be done that's nice about this product is I can see a display which shows any outlier responses. And if the group wanted to discuss based on any outlier responses, that could be done.
Right, and there are normative responses too, not just quantitative ones. When you go through this, you'll see that you have an opportunity to apply, it's like multiple choice. You can say, oh, we think these people are great, or, you know, it gives you opportunities to, there you go. Primary reason for your score, and then there's comments as well. So there's both, like I say, normative responses and numeric ones too. And that can be summarized as well. And then you can determine, as Mary's suggesting, who the outliers are.
Yeah, but it can be as simple as, here's the average result. Or it can be, here's a list of how everyone scored these individual proposals. So it's really what you want, how deep you want to look at it.
Okay, my last question is, assuming that only a few board members or none are interested in doing this, who would be assigned to do it, and how many people are you considering?
Well, I think it would be useful to take input from anybody that wants to give input, right? And then, when we get the summary reports, that'll help the people on this. Usually DR refers to this as an expert panel. It's basically an ad hoc panel of people who have agreed, a coalition of the willing, if you will, is what it amounts to. And they, you should probably meet to discuss it and select who they feel are the finalists. We could do that at one of these, you know, special meetings before a special legislative meeting before a regular meeting. That was kind of what my idea would be. Now, and going based on past practice, that's how it's usually done in the purchasing decisions. The people who are on the panel have a conference after everybody's had a chance to review the RFPs and collectively select who they think the finalists should be. You have any other suggestions on that, Mary?
No. If I understand your question, though, you wanted to know if no board members wanted to participate, who would do the reviewing?
Oh, maybe I didn't catch that part of it. Was that it, Rudy?
Oh, that's a better way of putting it, yes.
Okay. So in that case, we would reach out. We'd certainly go talk to Harper, okay, who is the head of DER, and ask him to participate. And a couple of staff people here, you know, officers here, and perhaps some other city officials. I'm hoping that someone from the budget office and also maybe the comptroller's office would be willing to do this. This is how we usually put together expert panels when we interview. We simply ask people from other city functionalities to be involved. That's kind of, and some of the ERS staff is asked from time to time to be involved in not vendor selection and also recruiting panels as well. So, but if nobody wants to do it, we'll check in with DER right away, and they may have some suggestions about it as well at that point. But we wanted to give the trustees the opportunity for first refusal, if I can put it that way.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? I have a couple of questions, Jerry.
Sure.
For trustees who might be thinking about it, but may be concerned about how to score, is there any training on the scoring? What you're looking for, not?
Well, only in the sense that the screen that you see it helps prompt you for reasons why you assign scores.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Terry.
Well, part of it was also like when we score things, like some people like to say, oh, this is excellent, it's 40. Other people say it's excellent, but it's still 30. So it depends on
qualitative, very different.
Huh? Yeah, what does good mean for you numerically? And that's where Mary's thing comes in afterwards, and she goes, wait a minute, you said it's really good, but you only gave them 10 points.
is that what you really mean? Because the rest of the people scored it as 40. So the outlier question then kind of comes and helps with that.
Okay.
And then we kind of reach out and say, hey, where this is how everybody else is doing it. You, your comments said good, but your score makes it sound bad. So.
Oh, okay. Because there, I know from experience, there are hard scores, soft scores. So that was kind of my question.
And that's also the reason you want multiple people, because people just have differences of opinion as to what they consider to be important or not important, and how they weight them.
But secondly, if a trustee wants to see the proposals but does not want to participate in the scoring, can they still go through this process?
Surely.
Okay.
You don't have to score it.
And then my next question is, in terms of public records, if you decide to download it, as you've advised, and you're doing it from your downloaded document rather than directly through the application, is the downloaded document that's on your computer also subject to public record?
I would think so, but that's probably a Peter Block or Patrick question. I'm pretty sure one of the reasons that the city has the software is to help, you know, manage the open records aspect of reviewing RFPs. I remember being involved in an RFP lawsuit myself. I was, you know, part of a panel, and a disappointed vendor didn't get it, and so there was a lawsuit. And they, you know, it was a deposition. It was pretty arduous, actually. And that was before Bonfire. So I'm pretty sure that's one of the reasons they brought this, because it helps, you know, to maintain the public record.
Okay. So anything you would do with it is pretty much subject to public records.
But what you download on your machine is exactly what would be public record anyway, unless they add a confidentiality thing on the RFP itself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the reason I ask that is sometimes if you download a document, you just make your little notes in the margin just right. To trigger stuff in your own mind. I wanted to make it clear that anybody who wants to participate, even that would be subject, or potentially subject to public records. That's it. That's all the questions I have.
I guess there was a question I had, and it hasn't come up, so I'll mention it. So, do you think it's appropriate for the trustees to be involved at all levels of this, you know, not only dealing with the finalists, but also helping to score initially? I thought it would be okay, because that's, quite frankly, the way we take input from the full board, full investment committee, when we're interviewing investment managers, and then, you know, the board kind of discusses it and decides who to invite in as a finalist. So I think it's appropriate, but I wasn't sure that everybody would agree with that position. If anybody has any objection to that, I guess I would. It could be voiced now. Okay.
Is any other comments from staff or board members? Okay. Jerry, there's no need for approval or anything on this item.
No, we just wanted to get a sense from the committee how to proceed, that's all.
Okay. So, if there isn't anything else, it sounds like that concludes our agenda.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we need to know whether I would need to know whether you're interested in participating.
Well, you can send emails, Mary.
Okay, and then if you don't accept it, you don't, it's fine. But you will get that email generated from Bonfire asking you to create an account and be a reviewer. But you can just ignore it if you're not interested.
Well, Jerry, would you like to know how many board members are actually interested in officially participating, because that may drive your need to look for other scores?
Well, I think at the end, we will need to, you know, get an indication of that, but it can wait for your response, you know, to the email. And then I think, I think, you know, it won't use too much time. I think it'll still be timely if we wait. I want to give people a chance to, you know, consider this, but in the end, we'll know who wants to do it and who doesn't, and whether we have enough, actually. And then I think there was also, there was one question about how fast does this need to get done, right? I think that was Rudy's question, right? What have we committed to in the RFP, Mary?
I would have to go look. We generally give, can you pull that up?
Yeah.
Maybe 30 days or so, right?
The proposals are due the end of day, the 31st, so you would receive an invitation from Bonfire on the 1st of April, and then we had planned on the scoring. Yeah, we just gave an open thing. So it's the evaluation and award is all from April 1st to the 22nd, but there's nothing holding your feet to the fire that it must be done by a certain time. This was just what was agreed upon when the RFP went out. If you weren't worried about a contract start date of May 1st, then it could take longer to score. It doesn't matter.
Right, right. Deborah, to answer your question, as chair, I guess you could ask for a sense, but I don't need a confirmation commitment at this meeting, but it's up to you. If you want to poll people, you can do that, but I don't think it's necessary personally, and maybe give people a little time to think about it and determine what their schedules would require of them if they were going to do this.
And I don't think I was asking about a commitment at this meeting.
Okay.
But it seems that once Mary sends out that email, that we need a firm commitment from board members as to whether or not they're going to score by a certain date, so that if no board members or only one board member wants to do it, then you have to scramble to get other scores. If we're gonna hold, you know, this timetable is important, and I think if we want to stick with it, we do have to have points in time when we need commitments, so that your staff can do what it needs to do to make sure we adhere to the schedule.
Well, that's a very good point. And today is Tuesday, so it's going to go out, did you say April 1st, right, Mary?
The invitations to participate would go out the first, April 1st.
And that is, that's a Tuesday, is it not?
Yes.
So by the end of that week, I think would be sufficient, Deborah, unless you want
yes.
to be sooner. Yes.
I, that seems fine to me, but if other board members think different, please say so.
And just so you know, the date of review from the 1st to the 22nd, the 22nd was chosen because that's a board meeting date.
Right.
So again, I think being able to make sure we have enough scores, and to meet that 22nd date, we just need to have a firm commitment from anyone that gets the email by that Friday, so that if scores outside of the board are necessary, there's enough time for them to review also, so that we can adhere to the schedule. That's my only point.
And it's a good one.
Okay, anything else?
So your email will reflect that, right, Mary?
Will reflect what?
Sort of a deadline for responding.
No, I have no control over
it's generated by the system, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just know to...
Well, we'll send out a separate
email. If you don't respond by Friday, I will assume you do not want to participate.
Maybe we'll send out a reminder on Thursday then.
Yeah.
I would appreciate that, Jerry. That would be helpful.
Okay.
Is that anything else?
No, I just wanted to note that there's another copy of the timeline, not really a timeline, sort of a flow chart for decision tree, attached to the agenda in case people want to refer to it as, you know, go along. I'll continue to submit this every meeting so we can kind of keep track of the milestones. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Jerry. I think, again, that concludes our agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Justin will make that motion.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any objections? Hearing no objection, this meeting is adjourned. The time is 9:35.